Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I wish I knew you when I was young.
I could have got so. And good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here. It's a Monday, September 27th. As we start another week, let me say a quick hello. Jennifer Jones Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
Alex running around someplace at the machine, the 7-Eleven down the hall. It's I love that 7-Eleven because it's actually like one of those kiosk kinds of things with refrigerators, and then it's on the honor system, sort of. They videotape you and they have cameras, but I gotta tell you, they haven't caught me yet.
I was just gonna ask what the ratio is of things you pay for versus
not big.
Borrow.
Yeah. Well, I don't borrow. At some point, I'll return them. Anyway, Wayne, good morning.
Good morning.
And Tyler, good morning.
I saw you making coffee earlier.
I'm sorry? I'm sorry. I missed that, Wayne.
I said I saw you making coffee earlier.
Yes.
It wasn't worth repeating.
No, it was not. All right. A lot to cover today as we move forward with another week. And September is about ending, and then we have October, which unfortunately is fire season, as is November, December, January, February, March, and throughout the rest of the year. So we're covering stories. The big story we're going to do, I'm going to start that in a moment, is President Biden's $3.5 trillion rebuilding plan and what is going on. And therein lies a huge problem for the Democrats and President Biden. President Biden had a honeymoon period of when a new president comes in of about 35 seconds. Usually it goes a few weeks, a few months. But what Biden inherited, and in many ways his own problems, we have not seen in recent years. The COVID pandemic he's had to deal with, and I think he's done a good job, but I don't think you can fight 20% of Americans saying they would rather get COVID than take the shots. I don't know what you do with that. You can argue all you want. You have the aspect of the wildfires we're going to be deeming later, climate change. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And what's going on right now is his infrastructure bill that he wants passed. And one thing you have to give the president a lot of kudos for is he said, we're done kicking the can down the road. We're finished. You know, it has caught up with us. We have to deal with infrastructure, the roads, the railways, the bridges, the grid, the internet, high-speed internet for everybody. I think pretty much everybody agrees, but I've told you about this before. Republicans are fine on that one. $1 billion, they've already passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. Then the issue is the Democrats, Joe Biden and moderate Democrats, are saying part and parcel of this is we want to attack the social programs, the safety net, the climate change bill. We want to move ahead on the social programs that, in Joe Biden's opinion and Democrats' opinion, is part of the infrastructure of the United States. Because if you don't have schooling and free tuition for junior college and pre-K and childcare and maternity leave, et cetera, then you don't have a society that's working. And there's where the Democrats are saying, okay, it's time to move on. Well, here's the problem. And you think that this would be a Republican problem, and it's not a Republican problem. It's a Democratic problem. The Republicans are easy. They're all against it. That's it. Every one of them. In lockstep. Nope. And the Democrats are split because you've got Biden and moderate Democrats versus those that are on the super liberal side, the progressives, who at $3.5 trillion say that already we've come to terms with. That's a compromise. How is $3.5 trillion a compromise? We wanted $6 trillion. Or in Bernie Sanders' case, he wanted $7 trillion, because you never know when another $1 trillion can buy you or not. You know, it's always good to have $1 trillion hanging around someplace at your beck and call. So this week, matter of fact, today there was going to be a vote in Congress. Pelosi was bringing the vote to the floor. She can't. She said, I don't have the votes. Now, hopefully by next week, we're going to have the votes, or by the end of the week. The President Biden said we'll towards the end of the week, we'll have some kind of a deal. And clearly there has to be there has to be some compromise. We're already there at the infrastructure deal. That's done. That's $1 trillion or $1.2 trillion. And then the big one, the $3.5 trillion with everything else that there's infighting with the Democrats and the Republicans, as I said, are dead set against it. And some compromise has to come to the table. The problem is, in today's world, does the word compromise even exist? No, it's impossible. And the shame of it is, of all the people who could be president, who would be masters of compromise, it would be Joe Biden. 40 years, 30 years in the Senate. I mean, it's the legislature is all about compromise. That's all it is. You have 100 senators, 435 congresspeople, each with divergent political views, philosophies, views on how society should be run, the amount of spending, government intervention, government control, totally different. And then they all thrash it together. I think it was Ronald Reagan. He was quoting someone saying, you don't want to see legislation being made. You want to see the sausage at the end of it, not how sausage is made. And that's the case here. So is something, what's going to happen as a result of this mess? Well, infrastructure bill, that'll pass. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi saying without one, you don't have the other, which is garbage because it's simply the Republicans certainly not let $3.5 trillion be crammed down their throats while they're talking with infrastructure. The problem is a philosophical difference. And this is where I agree with the Republicans. And that is there's infrastructure and there's social safety nets and entitlement programs. And that's not the same as infrastructure. Now, it certainly is aspirational. And I agree with President Biden and the progressives saying we have to deal with this. But the problem is, you know, where do you get the money? At $3.5 trillion on top of the $1.2 trillion that's for the infrastructure, on top of the $2 trillion that have already been spent during COVID, the money is just out of control. And yet we have to deal with it. This is when you don't want to be the president. This is a job you don't want to wake up to and saying, okay, what are we going to do today? And there are virtually no answers. And the answers that do come are going to appease nobody. Do we need social programs? Yeah. Maternity leave. We're the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have paid maternity leave. National health. Yeah. I mean, we have to change things around. Medicare is negotiating, can negotiate directly with providers, but pharmaceutical companies, for example, made sure that the government cannot negotiate with them. I mean, it's just one layer after another of the problems that we have. So, where are we going to go with this? There'll be a bill probably by the end of the week. There will probably be the infrastructure bill. There may or may not be a compromise on the big social bill, social programs that the president wants. I don't think so. You've got the climate change bill was part of that $3.5 trillion. Are people going to? I would do that. I would say, okay, we have to add dealing with climate change as part of infrastructure. But no, you're seeing a lot of Republicans. Boy, this is, I don't know the last time I have ever seen it. We talk about polarization and disparity. And I mean, those words are constantly being thrown at us. I got to tell you, you look at it and you go, you want to throw your hands in the air. I mean, where are you going with this? Good God. That's why I want to retire in Yemen. Just a better place to be. Food is cheap. Land is cheaper. Yep. Yeah, bye, Ian. 6:40. Bill Handel here on a Monday morning, September 27. Some of the big stories that we are covering and trending is, again, as I just finished a segment on, President Biden's $3.5 trillion rebuilding plan. And it's not coming to a vote today. Democrats don't have the votes. And so Nancy Pelosi is holding off bringing it to the floor. And then the family and friends of Gabby Petito gathered in Long Island to honor her memory. Boy, what a memorial service that was. Thousands of people showed up. Back to the border. I want to talk about the border because that's the visuals of the borders are just striking. One of the things about COVID, which is a much bigger problem, is that you don't have massive visuals. It's an individual, for example, that's in a hospital, where if you saw shots at the border, particularly the Del Rio Bridge going from Mexico into Texas, tens of thousands, actually, of people camped out under that bridge, all trying to get in the United States, mainly Haitians, interestingly enough, on that one. So what ended up happening? Well, remember, there were 15,000 of those people at one point under that bridge. And you saw the video and the drone shots, and it was just, it looked out of control. And it was. Well, they're no longer there. Now, remember when the administration said, if you come to the border, we will not let you in. We will deport you. Yeah, out of those 15,000, 2,000 were put on planes and flown back to Haiti, actually. And then there were some that voluntarily returned to Mexico. But are you ready for this? 15,000 people, 12,000. This is after administration says, we're not going to let you in. Don't bother. Don't come up. We're let in the United States. 12,000 out of 15,000 were let in the United States, given a date to show up at an immigration court for an immigration hearing to determine whether their claim for asylum is legitimate or not. Now, the majority are not going to be legitimate. The vast majority of asylum claims are not granted. However, these people are allowed to come into the country, given a date, and off they go. And that's exactly what the complaint is. And you have the advocates saying, those that are advocates for people trying to get in the United States who do not have legal status, except maybe claiming asylum, are saying the law allows us and mandates us and forces us to deal with each individual claiming asylum. Well, here's the problem, is that based on our asylum claims, it can be argued, and I think legitimately, that from virtually anywhere in the world, you make it to the border of the United States and claim asylum, and boy, you've got yourself a hearing. They're going to let you in because they're so backlogged, they're not going to give it to you right there. So here you go in the United States, and we'll see you at the next hearing. I don't have any stats as to how many people actually show up at those hearings. I have heard from all manner of information, some saying almost no one shows up, some telling me that the majority of people show up. Although, you know, I have a hard time believing that if you know you don't have a solid asylum claim or you don't know, are you really going to show up at the hearing, knowing if you leave, if you lose the hearing, you're on an airplane the next afternoon. And so what do people do? Well, the problem not only is how the administration is handling this horribly, I might add, it's almost beyond their control because the Biden administration doesn't have, I don't think, the ability to handle this border issue. I really don't. At least under Donald Trump, it was easy. Here we go. We're not letting you in. Politically, people like that. We're going to secure our borders. And there was the issue of the wall, et cetera. But it was clean cut as far as the anti-immigrant community was involved. This, a little bit more complicated, right? Well, asylum, no asylum. How many we let in? Do we allow double the size of the ones that are let in by a lottery? There's actually a lottery system where you apply, and I think 110,000 people are literally chosen their names out of a hat. Okay, you got your green card. So we have a really convoluted system. But the bottom line is, it's looking horrible for Joe Biden. As a matter of fact, when I say convoluted system, we don't have much of a system. And we're dealing with the perception that President Biden and the administration is sitting with open arms and saying, please come to the United States, or we will let you in because we are the country of opportunity. We're the beacon on that hill showing the world what democracy is like, and this is a land of opportunity. Problem is, there are millions of people out there that would like to jump in on that, and you can't blame them. What, you're starving? You can't get work? You can't feed your family? Of course you're going to go to the border and hopefully going to get in. And by the way, if you know you don't have much of an asylum claim, are you really going to show up at a hearing? I don't think so. I think you stay in the United States. That's certainly what I would do. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about another spin on the coronavirus and the vaccine opposition. And this is a story when I looked at it, I said, oh, come on, really? It's really gotten that bad. I'll explain. KFI AM 640, let's check in with Jennifer. Every morning there's a halo hanging from the corner of my girlfriend's four-post bed. Hey, and good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here. On a Monday morning, September 27, San Diego police are investigating the deaths of a woman and her two-year-old son after they fell from the third level of Petco Park. Boy, that's a story, isn't it? You wonder, how the hell did that happen? And we don't have an answer as far as the police are concerned, do we, at this point, Jennifer?
No, they're calling it suspicious. And so two things. They're wondering, did the woman jump with the baby in her arms? Or they're also apparently talking to, there's discrepancy if it's the husband or the baby's dad, but one of the two, they apparently, according to a TV station, have been interviewing him.
But there's plenty of video there. I mean, it's not like there, it's not as if there isn't, you know, hundreds of cameras in that area.
Was it, you know, was it close quarters? Were they smushed together? I mean, you never know.
Yeah. And it's really, really just questionable and at the same time, horrific. And you got a mom and her two-year-old falling with her. They fell at like three stories. Is that it?
Yep.
Onto the concrete, of course.
Yeah.
Jeez, that'll do it. Yep. Boy, that's a nice way to wake up to a story in the morning, isn't it? One of my, if not my pet peeve, of course, we've been talking about this a ton, is the COVID vaccine and how critical it is for everybody to be vaccinated. And I've been talking about that 20% who will never be vaccinated, who will say they'd rather, I think they'd rather have COVID because there's less of a risk of dying of COVID than there is with the shot. And the vaccination itself is horrific. All kinds of side effects and death and DNA being removed and the government throwing things into your body, that sort of thing. Well, when you look at who is saying no and who is saying yes, I can understand the crazies. I mean, I get it. Crazies are crazies. But are you ready for this? LA County officials have identified hundreds of outbreaks at police and fire agencies since the start of the pandemic. Here is the scary part. More than 2,500 cases have occurred in public safety agencies across the country. Half are in two agencies. LA Fire, LA Police. That's half of the number of COVID cases amongst public agencies. Hey, congratulations, LA Fire Department, LAPD, and here we go. And, I mean, at some point, what do you do with that? It's like doctors at a hospital treating COVID patients, and they all line up and refuse to be vaccinated because they're more fearful of the vaccine than they are of COVID, while people in front of them are dying of COVID. So now you have the cops and you have the fire department. It's a huge number of cases, which of course means that they weren't vaccinated. Now, before the vaccine came in, I can understand large number of public service agency employees, police, fire, certainly first responders, would have more of a chance of getting COVID. I get it. But not after the vaccinations came into being. Then it becomes crazy. City officials have said that 56 of the LAPD employees have been vaccinated, basically half of LAPD, which, of course, everybody's entitled to. And 58 of LA Fire Department employees have been fully vaccinated, which is way behind LA County residents, way behind LA City residents. In other words, you have the number of people in the general population who have been vaccinated, far less than that, percentage-wise, LA Fire and LAPD. Now, since June, 10 LAPD employees have died of COVID, and same number goes for LA Fire. So it is such a weird one. Coincidentally, in response to the questions about the outbreaks, both the LAPD and LAFD said they care about the safety of their employees, family members, and public, and have taken precautions to safeguard against outbreaks in the workplaces, including encouraging employees to get vaccinated. Please get vaccinated. In the meantime, the mandate has come down, and already huge numbers of LA Fire, LAPD have said they're going to go for the personal exemption, the religious exemption, as well as the medical exemption. Of course, the medical exemption is you have to get a doctor to sign off on it. And as far as the personal exemption, the religious belief exemption, that's complete crap, because what it basically says is that anybody can say no, which is very different than what the state did with vaccinations for kids in schools, saying, no such thing as religious exemptions anymore. That's it. Either you have a medical exemption that's legitimate or you're not going to school. Same thing can happen here. I don't know why it's not. You want to work for the LA Fire Department? You get vaccinated. If not, you can work someplace else. I mean, it stuns me. And here's the part that really I'm shaking my head at. This is not just a QAnon crazy person, right? This is not someone who's out there talking about the government wanting to control our lives, the conspiracy theorists, of which there are plenty out there. These are members of the fire department and the police department dealing with public safety. And you would think that people who choose this profession actually care about the public they're serving. Look at LAPD, you know, their seal to protect and to serve. I mean, they take that seriously. You know, our public service sector, especially when you're talking about the safety factor or the safety sector, fire, the police, other agencies, they actually care, I think, about helping people. Now, in about half the cases, no, thank you. We'll be more than happy to drag you out of a burning fire, but if we give you COVID, that's just the way it goes. No one's going to tell me that I need a shot. No one's going to force me to become vaccinated. This is the fire department and the police department of LA. I mean, I can't wait. Well, I'm not going to be around, but historians, sociologists, political scientists are going to be looking back at this era, particularly this year, and shaking their heads. It's going to be a whole new chapter in history. As it's going to be totally separated from everything else. Completely nuts. All right. Coming up, getting a COVID test. How about $380? Huh? For a COVID test. Costs about $12 out of pocket. $380 for a COVID test. And this is one of those quirks. Congress passes bills way too quickly, and look what happens. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Jennifer. KFI AM 640, Bill Handel here. Good morning on a Monday, September 27, coming up at 9:30. Do they have a case with Wayne? We haven't done that in a while, and that's always great fun. Want to share with you a story that's trending and we talk about for the rest of the day. Family and friends of Gabby Petito yesterday in Long Island honored her memory. It's a week after her remains were found in Wyoming, and there were thousands of people there at the memorial service. And the search continues on for Brian Laundrie, her boyfriend, who is theoretically still in that national park. And they're not going to find him there. I was just reading a story, which probably we'll talk about later, about a survivalist, someone who's lived in that area, and says, this guy's not alive here. If he were here, he's dead. He's gone someplace. Now, get a COVID test and it's free, right? You go to the drugstore and you pay for it. It's going to cost about $20. But There are a dozen testing sites owned by a new company called GS Labs that bills $380 for the test. And the government is paying. The insurance companies are paying for it. You go, wait, how do they get away with this? Well, Congress passed a law saying Americans wouldn't have to pay cash for coronavirus testing. And it required insurers to pay the laboratory costs at the cash price listed online for the tests. And there's no limit as to what that cash price could be. And so how the hell do they get away with $380 for a test that cost them $20? And GS Labs, incidentally, has performed over 500,000 of these tests since the start, still runs thousands daily. And what they're saying is, hey, look at the law. Now, there are lawsuits aplenty going around because a lot of health insurers just won't pay. They just won't pay it, saying this is price gouging during the public health crisis. And a Blue Cross plan has already sued. And in court last month, the insurance company claimed the fees were disaster profiteering in violation of public policy. Now, notice they didn't say in violation of law. Public policy is a much wider definition of how we don't want our society to go. It is against public policy, for example, to encourage theft. Whether or not there are any laws on the books, it's public policy. You don't want to do that. For example, in when you have child support cases, public policy says that the child should be supported by a family member more so than not. That's a public policy issue. So what the insurance company is claiming, this is against public policy. The problem is GS Labs says, look at the law. We're just following the law. And there's not much you can do about it. That's for sure. Now, they're defending it, saying we give superior service. You can book 15 minutes out with us on a given day, get your results in 15 to 20 minutes. We have a nursing hotline. And our pricing is one of the most expensive in the nation, by the way, the most expensive, because we have the best service in the nation. Well, here's the problem is GS Labs has very strong legal grounds to continue charging because how Congress wrote the CARES Act. And the act says whatever price a lab puts on their website, their public website, that's what has to be paid by the government. And the attorney for GS Labs says, you know, there isn't a whole lot of wiggle room in this. And how did all this start, GS Labs? Well, some very clever people. It's owned by a company called City Plus Ventures. It's a real estate investment firm. And somebody there took a look at the law, says there's a loophole here, or at least there's an avenue by which we can get a lot of money. And they opened up immediately. Last October was the first lab that opened up, 30 locations across the country, and it has made buckets and buckets of money. And this is one of those things, and I've talked about this so many times, the law of unintended consequences. It's fairly easy to pass a law. The problem is trying to figure out what's going to follow the unintended or intended consequences. And the few times that I've been involved in helping to write legislation, particularly surrogacy laws, as you can imagine, we've been talking about this for, you know, three decades here, is we spent more time working with a legislative analyst, working with the state assembly's office, assemblyman office who carried the bill. We spent more time working on what ifs. What if A happens, then what happens to B, and how does that segue into C? That's what people who write bills spend more time doing, is figuring out what happens when the law is passed and people kick in. Like in this case, the CARES Act is passed and the act says the insurance companies must pay because everybody in America, either the government pays or the insurance companies pay if you have an insurance policy, and it's whatever the list price is, $380. No, well, that's what the law says. So, and you're going to see a lot of this. This infrastructure bill, $3.5 trillion of the safety net bill. You've got the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. You think there aren't going to be some holes in that one? You think there isn't going to be just a little loopholing? Coming up, no driving, no working, no dating. It's a program that controls people's lives. Not everybody, but there are a few people that you want to date, you have to ask my permission. It's like my daughters. Can we date? No. No. How old are you? 26. You can wait.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.